The geopolitical fallout from the Iran conflict is extending well beyond the Middle East, and the cracks it's opening in the NATO alliance are significant. Both the United Kingdom and Germany have explicitly rejected Trump's suggestion that NATO should play a formal role in the Iran war. The language from London and Berlin was unusually direct. This conflict, they said, has nothing to do with NATO. That's not a soft diplomatic hedge. That's a categorical refusal.
To understand why that matters, you have to understand what NATO's Collective Defense Clause, Article 5, actually covers. It's an attack on one member being treated as an attack on all, but it applies to specific geographic zones and it requires agreement among members. European allies have consistently held that NATO is a defensive alliance for the Euro-Atlantic area, not a global expeditionary force for U.S. military adventures. Trump framing the Iran conflict as a NATO matter was always going to generate this kind of pushback from Berlin and London, especially given that neither Germany nor the UK were consulted before military operations began.
Qatar's role here is interesting and somewhat paradoxical. Qatar is simultaneously one of the key mediation channels for the ceasefire proposal and the country that gifted the U.S. a Boeing 747 that Trump has been using as an unofficial Air Force One. The White House confirmed Tuesday that the Qatari-donated aircraft will undergo defensive security upgrades this fall, while Trump reverts to the older presidential aircraft. The optics of a major mediating power also having gifted the sitting U.S. president a luxury jet worth hundreds of millions of dollars are genuinely awkward in the middle of an active U.S.-Iran war.
And then there was the World Cup final, which delivered the most unexpected diplomatic theater of the week. Trump attended the closing ceremony and was audibly booed by sections of the crowd, a notable public statement given the international composition of World Cup audiences. He also shook hands with Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez, who has been on the receiving end of U.S. tariff threats for months. The handshake was brief and visibly awkward, but it happened, which some European diplomats are reading as a small positive signal that channels of communication remain open despite the trade tensions.
Nicaragua's Daniel Ortega delivered a very different kind of diplomatic statement over the weekend, the complete opposite of engagement with international norms. The 80-year-old president declared during a speech marking the 47th anniversary of the Sandinista Revolution that Nicaragua will never hold elections again. That's not a policy announcement. That's a formal declaration of permanent authoritarian rule. The international response has been relatively muted given everything else happening, but it's a significant moment in the trajectory of Latin American democracy.
Then there's the El Mayo Zambada sentencing in U.S. federal court. The co-founder of the Sinaloa cartel has been sentenced to life in prison. This is a significant law enforcement milestone, though the Sinaloa cartel's operational capacity is unlikely to be dramatically affected by the removal of a single founder. The cartel has decentralized considerably over the past decade, precisely because of cases like this one.
The Estonia-Ukraine angle is also worth flagging. Estonia is urging the European Union to impose deeper sanctions on Russia, following what they're describing as the largest single missile barrage on Kyiv in the war. The simultaneity of an active U.S.-Iran conflict and an intensifying Russia-Ukraine war is stretching Western attention and resources in ways that some analysts believe Moscow is deliberately exploiting. The timing of a record missile barrage when the West's focus is firmly on the Persian Gulf is not coincidental.